morning.
Good morning.
Jacob's well. Great to be here. I hesitate to say last because, as you heard Greg say, it's not really a last, but for a while, for a little while. And it definitely marks the end of a formal kind of relationship for me relative to this congregation and this community of great people serving as an intern, however that meant. Many of you kind of were like, huh, he was an intern? What? When did that happen, you know? He never made coffee, he never, you know, so. But I can't imagine a better way to kind of, to go out. And actually, I kind of get the last word this way, right? At least, it's kind of how it works. But you heard a little bit of the intro from Greg on what this series is all about. And, part of it is kind of thinking in terms of Dawn's also taking a little bit of a step back away from her preaching role here at Jacob's Well. I'm going to be stepping back, and Greg was thinking, we got to, how do we figure this out, and how do we weave this together? And this idea that that our lives are big and broad and encompass so many different things, and we all bring these different experiences, and to say that somehow the God stuff only happens right here when we're here together in this community is such a misguided idea. And so somehow in this series, we really want you to kind of turn back out into your lives and into what's going on in your world and think about how God has been experienced all along and how God can be experienced and be brought into relationship for you. 27 years ago, I was 15 years old. Do the math. And I got my first job where someone was paying me, and it wasn't a family member. I went to work as a busboy in a country club, a dining room in the town that that we lived in upstate New York. And it was a great job. I loved it. Have you ever heard anybody say, I loved being a busboy? In fact, there are many days now where I think, oh, if I could just go back and be a busboy, it'd be so awesome. I really truly enjoyed that, and I put more into that. I was the kid who really wanted to do such a good job getting things set up and ready to go that I would go early, and I knew my boss would get upset, so I wouldn't punch in, but I'd just go start working anyways, and then I'd punch in later on. This is back when we had, time cards. And somehow that kind of snowballed and opened up a world of what I call hospitality. And really, I've been blessed to be able to kind of explore that throughout a kind of a career trajectory. I worked at a resort up north. Maybe some of you have heard of Rutgers Bay Lake Lodge on Bay Lake. And the Rutger family kind of took me under their wing and gave me some great experiences there. And that pushed me off into college, where I have a degree in restaurant food and beverage management from Cornell University out east in upstate New York. And that sent me off to work for a couple of companies that opened restaurants in high-volume retail areas. You may have been out to this mall that's just south of here called the Mall of America. When it opened, I went and opened and worked for companies that opened a couple of restaurants there. And then I got this hair that Ann and I really needed to go back to Montana, where her roots are and where we met, and we just needed to take a break. And so we moved back to Montana in 1994 and round up in a little town called Red Lodge, which is a tiny little 2,000-person community that sits at the foot of the Beartooth Mountains in south-central Montana. In the summertime, we are the way that you should go into Yellowstone Park. You can't do that in the wintertime. The mountains are too tall, too much snow. But in the summertime, it's great. And then in the wintertime, we have a ski area there called Red Lodge Mountain. And so it's a very touristy community, and it has a real seasonal and cyclical style. And I went to work at a restored old hotel there and managed and kind of got their dining room program established. And then I had been feeling this tug for a long time that I really wanted to be in business for myself. And mostly is because I really had grown tired of other people telling me no. And so I'm like that. And so I said, well, that's fine. I'll just go do it myself. And fortunately, with the support of my family, and encouragement from friends and a great community that rallied behind us, we opened the doors of our own restaurant in the summer of 1997. So next, or in 2 weeks, June 2nd, will be the 15th anniversary of our first day of business. And it's hard to imagine that it's, you know, gone by so quickly. Thank you. Thank you. And I don't know that we're even going to mark the occasion. So life has been so busy. But so today, my, you know, hope for you is for me to share these lessons I've learned, things I've learned from running my own restaurant, running my own business, that hopefully will trigger some ways for you into your own lives and your own worlds and what happens, again, after you leave this place and after you leave this community. Not that you can't take this community with you out into the world, but think about the world a little bit differently, because that's what's happened to me. Ann and I have always been fairly active. We both were very active in the church. Our parents, you know, brought us, and they're both here. Both sets of parents are here today. So I have to say this kind of no. They were very diligent about bringing us to church and making us be active in church life growing up. And so it was a part of us. And Ann and I met working together at a Bible camp in Montana. And so not unusual that we would be interested in churchy things, but like probably many of you, there was that period of time, kind of, you know, high school, college years, post-college years, early marriage years, before having kids, that, you know, church didn't really make a, you know, real strong draw for us. And we certainly kind of faded into the background. But then we start having, then we moved to Red Lodge, and we get involved in this very small town. And we became members of a small, lovely little congregation who kind of quickly welcomed us and made us feel at home. And that was a big part of us falling in love with this town of Red Lodge. And so immediately upon arriving in this community, there was a community of faith that reached out and grabbed us and drew us in. And, you know, partly they were excited there was somebody, you know, young enough to have children in the group or whatever it might be, but they were wonderful, and they were and they continue to be wonderful to this day, and they're a big part of why I'm actually standing here in front of you now. That they started to help me see the world in a different way, and subtle ways, and our parents had helped us see the world in subtle different ways. And that way of seeing the world, the way of seeing the world as the way God sees the world, is sort of what we want to talk about today. So Greg accused me, or suggested, that the next time I would preach that I would be pointless because I wouldn't have very many points. Well, I think I outdid him. Look in the back of your Sunday papers and you can see the most points I have ever put on the back of a Sunday paper. Now, I promise you, I'm not going to, you know, talk through all of these in big detail. We're going to work through them pretty quickly. But this is kind of the highlights of everything I learned, you know, running the restaurant business. And I want to share some of this. We got to show you. That is the outside of the restaurant. It's called Bridge Creek Backcountry Kitchen and Wine Bar. This is its second location. For the first 3 years of our existence, we were in a tiny little 1,500 square foot building that was just off of Main Street. Who's ever heard the old adage, location, location, location are the three most important things when it comes to the restaurant business and many other things, but this property is right on the main street of Red Lodge, an old mining town, old historic two-story brick buildings, and we built this building to look and have the same feel of that. And so this building opened in 2000. And go ahead and launch. And then these are some shots of the interior, the main dining room itself. We have a wine cellar that's a kind of visual feature of when you walk in, and that's another look into the dining room. And we have a little private dining room in the back. We have a retail store that has a coffee bar in it, and we sell gift items and retail wine items. We have a banquet facility on the second floor of the building, and that's just there to make you hungry. And the And we do catering, and it's grown to be a fairly sizable operation. So much so to the point where I have a large staff, and that's a big part of why I'm able to be here in Minnesota, studying at Luther Seminary, being able to work part-time with a congregation like you, and that's I'm spending the majority of my time, or have been spending the majority of my time here in the Twin Cities. My parents, who graciously helped kind of craft the strategy of how could we do this, how could we make this happen, they've been retired for a few years. They'd gotten a little bit interested in the restaurant. They have no background in the restaurant business, but they've been tracking me all along, obviously, and have been an active partner in this process. And so they gradually became more involved, and they've been serving in a real management capacity for me. They retired and they've moved to Red Lodge to be close to us, and then we, you know, move. But they've been great. But they are definitely my graduation present today, is to get, I think, another key to the front door of the restaurant. So, or handing me their sets of keys. But anyway, so that's the restaurant in a nutshell. Sizable staff. They can really run the place without me. Doesn't take me to have the doors open or something like that. During the off, main part of the year, we have about 20 to 25 people on the staff, and those numbers swell to about 50 in the summertime. And so a lot of people to manage, and a lot of customers come through the door, but it's fun. I really do enjoy it. It still fuels me, and I'm passionate about it. So let's think about some of the stuff that I've learned, or maybe. And see how this might relate to us today. I kind of broke it into three categories. First of all, this business of hospitality, the business of the restaurants, it's about guests, it's about the people that come through. And so the first kind of things that think about it, it is all about the guests. And the kind of overarching theme that I constantly use and reinforce with my staff is that the guests come in because they want to be fed. Plain and simple. It's about there's one main reason. They're there for a meal. I mean, there's lots of other things that fit into that, but they're there to be fed. And whenever we get into trouble, we kind of it's because we've lost sight of the fact that our main thing is about great food and wine. And when we start putting too much energy into other stuff, like thinking about having a trivia night or expanding our operations to do something that we don't normally do, and it hasn't really anything to do with great food and wine, it gets us into trouble. So I mean that should sound kind of like, what's your mission and who are you about? And quite honestly, it's really important for you to use that in your own faith life as well. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about what's your decision pulse and what's going to be your guiding thing. What brings you forward? What gives you the confidence to step forward to know that you're on that right path? And for us at the restaurant, it means staying focused on who we are and what we're about relative to food and wine. What are you about? Remember what that decision pulse was? It also, think about what do you think God is about? God has that same overarching guiding principle for you. And God's relationship with you. What is God about? And when you stray too far away from what that guiding principle is, you may get it wrong. You might get off track. God primarily just loves you and wants to be in a relationship with you. And everything else really falls away. And if you start to approach God from some other perspective, it doesn't make any sense anymore. So keep that in mind. Keep God's main mission in line with your own mission. And I think things will go pretty well. Now, that being said, it's also not just about the food. It's about the whole experience. And our restaurant is comprehensive. There's a lot going on. We're, as you saw, it's fairly nicely decorated, and so we're always thinking about artwork, and we're thinking about how clean the place is, and we're thinking about the quality of our equipment, the quality of the plates and the glasses, and what the uniforms look like, and how clean the sidewalk is, and the bathrooms, of course, and, it's all about that, absolutely. Just as it is, God is interested in all of your life. There aren't parts of your life that you can separate and say, well, this part doesn't belong to God. Or God doesn't have any interest in this part of my life. It doesn't work that way. God has interest in all of you, every aspect of you. Sometimes you have to go get the customers. Third point. I mentioned the first 3 years of the restaurant, we were off on a side street. And, you know, being fresh in business and not really sure how this was going to go. And so we'd open up for business, we'd unlock the door, and the place didn't quite, you know, fill up. We had some empty tables. We got staff standing around twiddling their thumbs. So what does the owner do? Goes and gets the customers. I literally took some menus. I'd walk a half a block to the main street. I'd stand on the street corner, and when people walked by, I'd say, "Hi, are you hungry?" Because I know a great restaurant, and here's their menu. And, you know, you just have this goofy conversation with people. But I tell you, most of the people who'd stop and talk to me, they'd go to the restaurant. And maybe not right then, but maybe when they were hungry or whatever it is, they'd come and check it out. I gotta go check this place out. This guy caught us on the sidewalk. No one's going to know what's important in your life if you don't invite them along, if you don't reach out to them and share your story with them and say, "Hey, come along. Why don't you come check this out?" Very, very quickly, or turn to somebody you don't know, or, you know, don't turn to your spouse, but turn to somebody else and ask and share with you, "How did you find out about Jacob's Well? How did you find out about this community of faith?" For some of you, it was a while ago. Maybe some of you, it was just recently. So turn quickly and just share that. Okay, that's all you get. That's all the time you get. Now, indulge me. Raise your hand if your method of having discovered Jacob's Well involved primarily a conversation with another person. It might have been an electronic conversation, but another conversation with another person. I think you just proved my point. No one's going to know about Jacob's Well unless you start talking about it and unless you start inviting people to come join you on this journey. So, you got to go get them. Take care of the community, and the community takes care of you. This is a no-brainer, especially in a small town like Red Lodge. We try and take care of our neighbors. We take care of our neighboring organizations. We partner with our local Boys and Girls Club because we're passionate about children in our town. And the community responds, and they say, "You know what, they're good operators. We're going to go in there and spend our money there." That's how it works. But it works everywhere. Take care of your neighbors, and they'll take care of you. Is nice. They are. So be nice to them. This is a really simple one, but in the 15 years I've had the restaurant, I've kicked one person out of my restaurant. One person. Now, I think a couple other people have been kicked out when I'm not around, but but I've personally kicked out one person. It's because they were just not nice to the staff person. We had a little issue. You know, we screwed something up with their dessert. And the customer just couldn't figure out how to be nice about it. The server was certainly being nice and going out of their way to be accommodating and helpful and friendly and everything she could do. But the customer just didn't want to be nice about it. And when I got involved, I thought, you know, we work too hard at this. We try way too hard to be treated like this. Thank you. Goodbye. You know? So don't get kicked out of my restaurant. Be nice. Good rule. Be nice. We will be nice to you, I promise. So, it's about the staff. As much as it's about customers, it's about the staff. I mentioned I got 25 to 50 people working at the place, and they're most of what draws my attention. It's where I put most of my energy. It's into the people that are there. And you know who the most important person in the entire restaurant is at any given moment in time? It's certainly not me. It's the dishwasher. The dishwasher, and the corollary to this is it's the most important machine in the restaurant as well. We don't like washing dishes by hand. And so we have a great machine. It can do a whole tray full of dishes in 45 seconds when it's working. So we got to take care of it. We got to maintain it. We put a lot of energy into that. The reason this is important is because if it's not working, if the dishwasher themselves doesn't show up for the shift, or get sick, or something happens, or the machine breaks down, it becomes the most critical bottleneck the most amazing bottle. It just literally shuts down the whole operation. You'd think it'd be something like the power going out, or lights going off, or the gas getting shut off, or something like that. Now we can still do some stuff, but the dishwasher goes down, and boy, everything just screeches to a halt. What's going on in your life that's that critical, that could become that kind of a bottleneck if it wasn't working right, if it wasn't being maintained, if it wasn't being cared for? For some of you like me, it could be your health, your physical plant. It could be your relationships. Tend to them. Care for them. Make sure they're there, fully present, so that you can keep operating and going through the life as you need to. The best business decision isn't always the best decision for the business. This is a guiding principle for me. It's tough sometimes when you're the owner and you're looking at numbers all the time, you're thinking about cash, and so many business decisions are around money. But the best decisions for the business are around people. It's a people business, absolutely. So we're not open on Christmas Day because I want my staff to be able to be with their families, all of them, including me. Even though Red Lodge is full of skiers and full of holiday visitors, we're closed. We could do well that day, but we're closed. That's a good business decision in my mind. Don't ask someone to do something you're not willing to do yourself. Kind of related to that last one. I don't want to work on Christmas. I don't ask my staff to work on Christmas. We don't serve breakfast at Bridge Creek because I don't want to make breakfast. Owning the restaurant, being a business for yourself, means that if it all eventually may come on you and the phone may ring, Peter, the breakfast cook, didn't show up, and I'd say, we're not open for breakfast. I'm not coming in. So it's a simple thing, and it's how we live our life. And it's a way that we can live graciously in our actions by not expecting something from other people that we're not willing to do ourselves. Keep that in mind. For most of the staff, am I on the right one here? Yeah, for most of the staff, this is one that was tough to learn. You know what? For most of the people, it's just a job. It's just a job. It's my life. It's my whole life, or a big part, a big piece of who I am and who I love to be every day. But most of the people that are a part of that, it's not true for them. And I have to keep that in perspective, that they have their lives and they have their passions that fuel them and drive them. Sometimes those align perfectly for us. Sometimes we get really passionate culinarians on our staff, and it's fun to resource them and let them go crazy. It's fantastic. Sometimes we get great servers who just really love being good servers and being out there and interacting with our customers. But for most of them, it's just a job. They're willing to be happy and learn and enjoy their time there, but they're interested in becoming doctors and artists and skiers and auto mechanics. I mean, those are great things to be passionate about. So we try to figure out how to make them allow those passions and to come through. And if there's a way for us to participate then and help them, it's great. But remember, the world around you, your neighbors, the people who, even in your own family, they don't share necessarily your same passions. So don't let your passion kind of drive the day. Give them a chance to show off their passion as well. I definitely think that's a God thing. Consistency enables experimentation. This is the core of who we are. As much as we can repeat what we do well as often as possible, it's what gives us the chance to experiment, because it creates trust with our customers. It creates trust with the people around us. When they know we're going to do something well, they'll let us do something else and see how it goes. That's a God thing too. God loves you to be good at what you're doing, but he wants you to try new stuff. Be consistent, and then you can experiment. You're only as good as how you handle those times when you mess up. This is so true in the restaurant business. We're good. I mean, I'm very proud of the work that we do there, but we are not perfect. In fact, we screw something up with pretty much everybody who comes in the door. Now, most of you aren't smart enough to figure out what we screwed up, and so I just keep that to myself. But But yeah, I mean, it's a human business, and we screw up all the time. And it's those moments when you do recognize that we've screwed up and how we react in those moments. Now think about your own lives and the relationships that you have. It's the times when you screw up that really will define the quality and care and integrity of who you are and what you're about. We can all kind of live in a happy-go-lucky, easy-going phase when things are going right. But when things go wrong, even just a little bit, that's the real test. How can you react in those times? Every interaction is an opportunity to create a wow. This is something we work with our staff. Every time, every little step of the way, we ask our staff, what could we do that would make our customers go, wow? Wow. I mean, really, genuinely go, wow. What is it that we could do? Everything from how we answer the phone when people call in to make a reservation to how we say goodbye to them on their way out the door. Do we run ahead of them and go open the door for them? Do we have a goofy greeting on the phone when you call? It's a great day at Bridge Creek. So what can you do that might get people in your life to say, wow? That's how God looks at you. God looks at you and says, wow. Are you doing stuff for others that makes them say, wow? Now, this last one about staff. You cannot predict the unexpected, but you can prepare for it. You can't predict everything. You can't predict that 300-400-pound black bear will come walking down the alley behind your restaurant and pick up a full 50-gallon barrel of used cooking oil that's anchored and chained to a cement wall and pick it up and drink from it like it's a giant sippy cup. You cannot predict that. We certainly could not have predicted that. But it happened. And we weren't necessarily prepared for it either, because we really didn't think anything like that could happen. But we were prepared. We had contacts. We knew who to call. We knew how to get the city over there with a fire truck to help foam the place down. We knew how to get gravel people in to scrape all the messed up contaminated gravel in our alley and get new gravel put down. I mean, we were able to react because we had built relationships that were able and ready and standing ready to help us out. Do you have those kind of relationships in your life? Has God put those kinds of people in your life so that you, when the bear comes walking down the alley, you've got someone to lean on and someone to help you out? Finally, I'd really like to be able to say this one. It's all about the owner. But this is the most ironic one of them all. It is definitely not about the owner being in business. But it's interesting, when I look at the world around me today, how backwards it seems to have gotten for many in the corporate world and many in the public realm. But this is how it works. You pay the staff, you pay your taxes, you pay the vendors, and the bank. You got to pay all those bills. And then you get to keep some money, hopefully, at the end. Whatever's left is yours. You don't take yours first. It's not how it works. Somehow I'd like to think that if we ordered our kind of public world around this a little bit better, we might not be in some of the troubles that we are. God lays out a plan for us financially. We talk about that a lot here at Jacob's Well. God has a vision for us and our money and how we use it and how we use it to benefit the world around us that God has created. Do you have your financial house in order? Do you have it figured out where it goes? And if you don't, pay attention, because I'm sure we're going to bring it up again for you here at Jacob's Well. It's one of the things I love most about this community of faith. We're not afraid to take on these real life important issues that God cares deeply about and wants us to be in relationship. Because finally, what it's all really about, and there's only one fill-in on your Sunday paper today, because it's the only thing I want you to take away out of all of this, is that no one can do it alone. there are plenty of days where I wish I could just send all the staff home, all the customers home, and just do it myself. But it doesn't work that way. It's the same way with life. You can't do life by yourself. It doesn't work. There is no life by yourself. God created you and this world for all of us to be in relationship with each other, to be in relationship with God. It's a community, plain and simple. It's a community that gathers regularly, comes together to hear each other's stories and to share each other's sorrows and ease each other's burdens. It's a community that has to do that on a regular basis. And what a gift it's been for me and for Anne and our family that this community has provided that for us these last couple of years. We're thrilled that that's going to continue. It's just going to take some different shape. We're not in this by ourselves. We get to gather together. And today we get to gather together around some tables. I think it's kind of fitting that the restaurant guy would insist that we have a little bread and a little wine on a Sunday morning. Mealtime is a powerful, powerful time for us to be reminded of how God calls to us, tells us, come gather around this table. Come gather around. And there is bread here. And this bread, this is me. This is who I am. This is all of me. And I want to give you all of me. So come and eat. And God takes a cup of wine and he blesses it and he says, this cup, you know what this cup is? This cup, when you drink from this cup, you're going to be reminded that I have made a promise that's about you. That you and I are together in all of this, in all of the down and all of the up. You and I are together. And this cup signifies that. And when you drink of it, you're going to think of me. You're going to think of me. You're going to think of the life that I have and the life that runs through my veins. Because it's the same life that runs through your veins. So drink. Drink and remember who I am and remember that we are in this together. So today, Jacob's Well, go find one of these tables that you've been invited to come and gather around with your family and gather with this community of faith. Because that's why we're here. So we can gather together and feel something powerful and something that draws us in, but more importantly, that nourishes us and gives us some life to send us back out again. Because this world is full of places where you are needed and where God needs you. So come and be fed, come and drink. This station right here has some allergy-free wafers. And this is the only station that has those. But the red is wine and the white is grape juice. Feed each other, share some bread, share some wine, share it to a neighbor. Come and eat. This table, your table, it's ready. We're ready for you. Come on down and eat. Taste and see. Well, Jacob's Well, I hope you got a good taste, a taste of what it means to be a part of a special community, but a part of this world and a partner with God in it. So let's pray. God, thank you for coming to us in bread and wine. Thank you for coming to us in this place and the people that we've got gathered around us. Continue to bless our lives through them and through food and through drink and use us now. You've fed us. You've filled us up. Now take us and come with us out into this world and show us where you want us to go. Show us where we're needed most, where we can help be you in this world. Be with those in our lives that are ailing and that are struggling, that need most of all to know your presence and that you're very real to them and make yourself very real for them. Keep us safe. There's a lot of brokenness and things that scare us in this world. So keep us, hold us, keep us safe, and keep shining a light so that we know where to go and how to find you. For all these things we pray. Amen.